Well, just looking back over the course of this past week, it started with the optimism which has been running through financial markets, most of the way through this first part of 2023. And basically that is that we've beaten inflation, it's past its peak, it's starting to come down. That's giving leeway for central banks to start to step back in terms of their monetary policy tightenings. And everybody was watching the various central banks that were reporting last week. The one that played into that scenario, the key one really, was the Federal Reserve. So the Federal Reserve, when it came to their meeting, it was an interesting situation because they did peel back from 50 basis point hikes to 25 basis points. That still took the upper range of the Fed funds rate to 4.75% from 4.5% the previous meeting. And the commentary that initially came out with the Fed decision was that, yes, they were in a position to step back, but there were still more interest rate hikes to come. Then it came to the press conference where it seemed as if Jerome Powell was moving slightly more dovish than that. And he was suggesting that a lot of uncertainty, but we are reasonably close to the peak. He gave no indication, though, that once they get to the peak, that things can come back. But nevertheless, the market took that fairly optimistically. And up to that point, the data have been playing towards that view in the US as well. So going back over the past week, we had some of the manufacturing purchasing manager reports, some of the early ones. We had the one from Chicago for January. That came down to 44.3 from 45.1. We had some construction spending data, which was pretty soft for the most recent month, December, down 0.4%. And before the FOMC decision, we had the ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, and that came back to 47.4 from 48.4. So there's this indication that you're getting some softening in US economic activity, inflation off the peak, and the Fed in a position to at least get close to the peak for rates. Then right at the end of the week, we got some data out of the US which was truly stunning and suggests that we've still got a fair way to go before the Fed can call time on interest rate hikes. And it came through with the non-farm payrolls. So non-farm payrolls truly were unbelievably strong. And so we had the non-farm payrolls themselves. They lifted from 260,000 increase going back the previous month. The market thought that would come back to 185,000. It lifted to 517,000, just a massive lift in jobs. And as a result of that, the unemployment rate shot underneath market expectation by 0.2 of a percentage point. The market thought the unemployment rate would be 3.6%. It came in at a new low, 3.4%. That's the lowest unemployment rate since 1969 in the United States. And then to cap it off, later that day, we had the non-manufacturing PMI came out, the ISM non-manufacturing PMI. And this one jumped way more than expected. It lifted from 49.6 to 55.2. Now, this is the bulk of the US economy, so there's still a lot of strength running through there. At the very least, this number suggests is that even if the Fed is getting close to the peak for rates, it's going to have to hold that peak for a very long time. So some of the expectations which were starting to run that, once the Fed got to the peak over the next month or two or three, at that point, it would be 3 months, 4 months, and then they can start to ease interest rates. Nothing of the sort. They could be sort of slowly lifting rates the whole way through 2023 if these numbers don't start to come back. And it's a long way off before you can get to the point where interest rates can start to come back. So there's just that challenge to expectations which were running through last week. Now, we're not going to get an awful lot more colour on that through the course of this week. It's a really light week in terms of economic data coming out. So you've got things like trade balance in the US, which is people not watching that very much these days. one they will be watching, or two they will be watching, is probably the initial jobless claims again. The initial jobless claims have been consistently saying that we've got a lot more strength in the labour market than perhaps people realise. And, of course, that came to fruition in those non-farm payrolls that we saw on Friday. The initial jobless claims last week came down to 183,000. You rarely see numbers stronger than that. And so this week, they think that they'll probably bounce back up, but they're thinking it's going to be bouncing back the last few weeks, and it hasn't. They're looking for 194,000. If it stays down in the 180,000s, this is still a drum-tight labour market in the US, and that's what is going to be the fly in the ointment of the Fed, A, getting to a peak on rates, and B, starting to bring those rates back. But we also have Michigan consumer sentiment coming up for the month of February on Friday. That one's lifted from its lows around the high 50s. It's a 64.9. This is the early reading for February. It's expected to stay at 64.9, but that's still, it's not a strong reading, but it's comparatively firm. Then the other reason why we've had optimism running through financial markets, and this is all about China. China sort of starting to boost economic activity. Now, all of this has become more complex at the weekend. You had a visit from high U.S. officials, which has been cancelled over the weekend because of the shooting down of the balloon, which is believed to be a spy balloon, this really does complicate the international opening up of China to some degree until we get some more colour on that. But having said that, the moves to try and boost economic activity at home in China appear to be bearing a little bit of fruit. And we had data supporting that last week in their purchasing managers' indices. So the official purchasing managers' indices for January for the manufacturing sector and the services sector, they both came out on the strong side of market expectations. The January manufacturing PMI, back to December, it was at 47, so it's below the 50 expansion contraction marker. It was expected to perhaps get just under 50. It went above 50. It went to 50.1. That's not much above. But the really interesting one was the very large jump in the services sector PMI as they've opened up after COVID. People in China, to not quite the same degree as us, but they've been able to get out and about and spend money on services. And so we had the services sector PMI in China. That jumped on the official reading from 41.6, which was a very low reading going back to December. It jumped to 54.4. That's back into strong territory. And it's done it in 1 month, so that's a pretty firm reading. And it was there was some ratification of this in the cakes in PMIs that came out a bit later in the week. We had cakes in manufacturing PMI went up from 49 to 49.2, not quite as dramatic as the official reading, but the cakes in services sector PMI went up from 48 to 52.9. So again, quite a large lift running through the services sector there. This week, not a lot of data out of China. It's mostly it's the CPI and the producer price index, and those are still running pretty low. So in January, the CPI has probably stayed at 1.8% year-on-year, and producer prices, which were down 0.7% year-on-year, they may come back to about flat for the most recent monthly reading. In Australia, we had, again, some interesting reads over the course of the past week. We had, for example, December retail sales. Now, retail sales, the season adjustment relating to retail sales has been thrown about because you've had all sorts of factors such as people coming back to shop in credit in department stores, the way in which department stores have been organising their sales, which has largely been the biggest ones, have been in November rather than in December running into January. All of these things are playing havoc with seasonal adjustment. So that partly accounts why we got a really big swing in the retail sales in December, where going back to November, we had a 1.4% seasonally adjusted rise, which on any measure would be looked on as being extraordinarily strong, to a big dump of down 3.9% in the month of December. Now, some of that could be related to people spending a little bit less running into Christmas this year than last year. What mitigates against that is that when you're looking at the year-on-year that goes with those December retail sales is still up 7.5% year-on-year. So it's been taken as, you know, maybe there's a little bit of softness just starting to creep into retail sales. We just don't know at this point. Need to see some more data before we can really confirm that. And the Reserve Bank would need to see a lot more weak data before it can think that it can rest on its laurels. We also had December home building approvals came out. Now, these are very erratic at the moment. Going back the previous month, we were down 8.8% month on month on revision. We thought there might be a little bit of a dead cat bounce, maybe 1% lift in December. They lifted by 18.5% in December, so just a huge surge. It was mostly in multi-occupancies, so a lot more home units going up. But nevertheless, it's jumped from being a very weak reading, where we're down at 13,000 odd home building approvals. We've jumped back to something which is not quite strong, but is on the strong side of averaging for home building approvals. So again, a bit quirky in terms of the way the data's moving. We also had December home loan commitments came out last week, and you know, it's be clear what's going on here, and that is that it's still looking pretty weak. So the value of home loan commitments, that's both owner-occupiers and investors combined, going back the previous month was down 3%, the value of new home loan commitments. It was expected to be around the same sort of figure for December. It was weaker than that. It was down by 5.7%. So quite clearly, you know, the weakness running through housing is still running. And we know that, you know, there's going to be some more pressure points, particularly as we go to this week, where one thing that we're near certain of is that on Tuesday, the RBA is going to lift rates by 25 basis points to 3.35%. You know, the issue is that the peak or is there more to come after that? Everything to do with the inflation readings that we're getting here suggests there's a fair bit more to go. They can't rest on their laurels at that peak rate, because there's no chance of the annual inflation rate here getting down anywhere near 3.35% anytime over the next couple of years. And so it would mean that even on a very long-term expectation of where inflation is, real rates, they're still negative at this sort of level. So that implies that the RBA still has more work to do. What they can do, though, is they can say with maybe some certainty that inflation peaked in the December quarter and the month of December. You know, we have two CPI readings these days, the quarterly and also the monthly. The quarterly CPI peak inflation rate was 7.8%. The monthly was 8.4% going to the month of December. Those were probably the peaks for this cycle, and like many other places around the world, we're starting to come over the hump and starting to come down the other side. That will be there in the Reserve Bank's quarterly monetary policy statement that comes out on Friday. So they'll be able to point to that. They can point to, you know, moving slowly with rates, but what it does look like here is that rates probably won't have peaked when we get the next rise of 25 basis points. There may be one or two more beyond that. And the other point about it is that there's some expectation that you might be able to start to get rates down again by the time we get to the end of the year. That's a forlorn hope at this stage. it's going to be quite a long peak with interest rates the way that the data is running currently. We do have a little bit of data ahead of the RBA, so we've got Q4 retail sales that will give us the volume figures. They are expected to be down, so probably down about 0.6% quarter on quarter after being up 0.2%. They'll still be up year on year quite comfortably. And we also get December international trade, which just goes from strength to strength. That's you know, we had a surplus of $13.2 billion going back to the month of November. It looks as if it'll be comfortably around that level again, and if anything, trade conditions are improving. Moving to Europe, and the European data has been coming through a little bit better than expected, and inflation's come back a little bit more than expected, but of course we also have the ECB, who know that they've still got a lot of work to do to get inflation to come down consistently towards their target. So some of the data that came out last week, we had the Business and Consumer Sentiment Survey, and that went up to 99.9, well above expectations of 97 from 97.1. We also had the preliminary Q4 GDP read. Now, go back a few months, everybody was convinced that this would have a negative sign on the front of it and that Europe would be in recession. It had a positive sign on the front, and it was up 0.1% quarter on quarter. So no recession there, just this mighty close to it, perhaps. But the annual rate of change on that year on year was 1.9% positive, back a little bit from 2.3%. But not the complete tanking in the European economy, which was expected as little as 2 or 3 months ago. And that's largely down to the much better energy supply and price that has helped the European economy through the winter months. The manufacturing PMI in Europe came out. That held up at 48.8. We also had the January CPI, and because of those lower energy prices, it fell by 0.4%. As a result of that, the annual inflation rate came down to 8.5% from 9.2%. So rather like the US, it's starting to clatter down quite well at this point with those lower energy prices coming through. But all of this progress is going to get stalled a bit further down the track, not over the next few months, but as we get towards the middle months of 2023, there will be quite a stalling in progress of both the US inflation rate coming down and also the European inflation rate as you start to replace some of the lower monthly numbers from the same period last year. And you've still got a lot of pressure coming through the services sector prices in both the US and in Europe. So the ECB recognises that, and they lifted 50 basis points at their last meeting. They're still going aggressively, and they talked about more of these sorts of hikes to come. So they're now up to 2.5% from 2. Bank of England in similar vein, and if anything, the UK has the highest and most difficult inflation problem at the moment. They're all running about 10 on inflation. But the Bank of England lifted 50 basis points. That took the base rate there up to 4% from 3.5%. They talked still about more rate hikes to come. So none of that ratification, the market thinking that central banks are virtually at their end, that's underpinned a lot of the optimism which has been running through things most of the way through January and into the very early part of February. The unemployment rate in Europe, there was a revision the previous month at 6.6%. We held at 6.6%, but that's still fairly much multi-decade lows for the unemployment rate. They've got a very tight labour market like everywhere else. And we also had the December producer price index came out. And this one's just it's a little bit problematic. It was expected to show a fall in the month of 0.4%. It showed a rise of 1.1%. So as a result of that, the annual rate of change in producer prices did come back, but not as much as expected. So it came back from 27% year-on-year to 24% year-on-year. And that speaks volumes, too, about sort of what's in the pipeline and how it's still going to be very, very difficult to get these inflation rates down. So, interesting times at the moment. Markets have been very, very optimistic. They got some ratification through the FOMC, not so much the FOMC meeting itself, but through some of the comments by Jerome Powell. But you know, Jerome Powell's comments were very neatly sort of put into context by the strength still running through the US labour market, which is going to make it enormously hard to get inflation back to where it needs to be over the course of the next 2 to 3 years. So watching this week that we'll still have some reactions to the difficulty of things, but obviously here watching the RBA and some of the comments that come out from the RBA as well.